Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Amen. Meditation for the reading for our meditation today is the Old Testament reading on that we have our own greater rainbow today. You may be seated. Everyone does love a good rainbow out there. Maybe God hardwired it into our brain or something to pay attention to it. To get everyone inside. Come on, come out, see the rainbow. Doesn't come too often, but when it does, it's special. And, I mean, the rainbow is the happy ending of this story. That's what we've got here in our reading. I mean, to begin with, Noah had God come to him and just kind of say, by the way, I'm going to take out the whole world in a flood, so I'm going to need you to build a boat, and we're going to save your family. Kind of abrupt news. Not exactly a heartwarming event, but after the flood, we kind of have this nice fairy tale finish. It's a fresh start. Everyone's happy. The evil is gone. God ensures the ark was safe. And he makes the promise that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. And never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And to seal the deal, he gives the rainbow, puts it in the sky, and, well, we see it, and we may remember, but if you look at the reading, and even if you look around the reading, nowhere in there, not once in the whole thing, does it even suggest that God put the rainbow in the sky for us to remember the covenant? No. God says, when the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. We may remember it, but the rainbow is not there to help you out in remembering the story of Noah. It does. But it is there to remind God that he promised never to wipe the earth out in that way ever again. And, well, the flood itself was remembered by other cultures outside of the Bible. You have other cultures have legends of a great flood that wiped out pretty much the whole earth. Everyone remembered the flood. Not every cult, but it is only here in the Bible that we have the reminder that the rainbow came with it. They recognized the historical event. It was there. It happened. But we know that it's not going to happen again. Men didn't remember the rainbow as well as the flood. Perhaps God didn't mean them to. But God, we can tell that God certainly remembers his sign. He had seen the increase, he had seen the world, the evil increasing in the world then. We just had Cain's murder of Abel. That was probably only the beginning of fighting and killing. And right before the flood, there's reference to growing sexual sins. And for today's world, that does bring to mind what happens in our own country, in our own culture. We have our own sins of that sort. The LGBTQ movement, which is usually associated with lax morals all around here, It may be fit for destruction, but their symbol is the rainbow. I don't know if it's Satan playing a joke on God, or just taunting him, saying, "Ha, you can't destroy this, you promised." Or if God put it there to remind himself to say, "I'm not going to do that. We're going to let it go." Either way, the rainbow, as a sign of the covenant, is working. It's reminding him. They may be fit for destruction, but that's not what I want to do, because I promised otherwise, and I wanted to make that promise. So the rainbow is there to keep him to his promise. It's the sign of the covenant with Noah, which is still in effect, as it said, to all creatures of the earth for all generations to come. And so we have this sign. But there is another most important covenant, and this one too comes with a sign. We have the covenant which Christ instituted with his death, and the sign of this covenant is the cross. This sign that everyone knows is Christian. The sign of the cross does remind us of what happened, but even more importantly, it reminds God of the payment that his Son made on the cross for all of your sins. It reminds God that you have been forgiven, and that he has promised your salvation, not your destruction. This is the covenant that is greater than Noah's. It ensures eternal life, as it keeps back not just the water that would drown us, but the whole wrath of God, because it has already been satisfied and poured out on Jesus. So, we use the sign. We use the sign to say, "You promised, God." We use it as the sign of the church. We keep it on our altar. We keep it on our building. Some keep it around their neck. And in the service, historically, whenever the Trinitarian name is used, you know, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, at least the pastor would make the sign, and often members of the congregation. Thus, when we use his name and call for God's presence, we're also calling for his mercy. And just like the rainbow is tied to the flood, the sign of the cross is tied to baptism. For Peter, in 1 Peter, speaks of how baptism corresponds to the flood. It's a greater flood that does permanent things and actually solves and is part of our salvation. The flood washed all the evil off the face of the earth and drowned it. And baptism, similarly, washes us clean of our sin and drowns the old man within us, the source and driver of our sin. Now, the sign of the rainbow still reminds God not to destroy the earth, because he has already cleansed it once. Not doing that again. But the sign of the cross reminds God not to destroy you or the church, because you have already died in baptism. You have already been cleansed. Your old Adam has already been drowned. We have already come through those waters. They came once, and they need never come again. In baptism, we have the faith in Christ. We have been given faith in Christ. We have been marked with the Trinitarian name given in baptism. And so also in the baptismal rite, after the baptism, the pastor would make the sign of the cross on the forehead of the baptized, to say, this mark is now yours. And I am placing it upon you so that God may know that you are to be spared. And so, as a gift, it's a gift to use. A gift to use because God has promised that your hearts, as the baptized, have been cleansed. He's promised that Christ's death has paid for it all, and now you have the right to show it off to God. So, in the invocation at the beginning of service, remember your baptism. It's an appropriate time. The whole service, especially when we do communion, is done within our baptism. That's what the invocation means. The entire thing, the whole service, is calling on God and saying, fulfill your promises. Give us what you promised us. We receive his word that he promised us. We receive the Lord's Supper that he promised us. And the sign of the cross is there to mark it all. So, feel free to use it. Use it, keep it in your home. We use it in here in church. And feel free to mark yourself. That's how Luther, in the Small Catechism, when he does the daily prayers, each one begins with the invocation and directs you to make the sign of the cross so that you may begin and end your day with your baptism by reminding God. And he even went so far as to say that even if you don't have any energy to do any of the rest of those prayers, make the sign of the cross. That's at least enough of a prayer. And feel free to do so during the service. Whenever the pastor does the sign of the cross, it's perfectly appropriate for you to do so. It's not that it does something in particular, but it calls out as a prayer. And we do say that our prayers do accomplish things. It does change God's mind. So, keep him to his promise. Remind him of what has happened. Remind him that salvation has been won. And he will keep you. He will guard you. He will bring you through the ark, over the waters, into eternal life. So finally, I end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May God's peace, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.